Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I am pleased to welcome on somebody who's been on the show a number of times. Jay Towne is a former U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama. He's got a career in prosecution. He's also got, by the way, a career as a U.S. Marine Corps Judge Advocate General. Degrees from Notre Dame, Seton Hall University School of Law. And by the way, he's also got a new gig. He's a legal analyst for Newsmax as of now. So without further ado, let me stop talking and welcome on Jay Towne. Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, how are you? You know, believe it or not, I also left Gray Analytics for Radiance Technologies, where I'm the chief compliance officer now. So things are busy right now, Phil, and I know you know that feeling.
I do. In fact, every once in a while, I wonder what it'd be like to have one job. That'd be cool. But it's been like my entire adult life. It's like, okay, which full-time job am I in at this particular moment? But hey, listen, man, you've got some experience enforcing the law, obviously, as a prosecutor in Madison County, and then as, you know, the U.S. attorney for the Northern District. I'm watching what's happening in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and like right now, it's a heck of a thing to have to brag on something like this, but we just went 12 days without a homicide.
Yep.
Talk to me about what your thoughts are on this crackdown by the Trump administration.
Yeah, this just goes to show you that if you want to reduce crime, you can have all the ice cream socials and social workers that you want to, but those are sort of auxiliary methods. Primary methods are removing criminals from the street and surging law enforcement resources of any type, federal, local, county. There's no county for DC, but any amount of law enforcement resources to include the National Guard that helps federal law enforcement and locals do their job. That's how you reduce crime. And it's tried and true. It's proven all over the country. It just takes the will of man. One of the things, Phil, that I want to share with your audience is that, you know, over the for 12 days, we haven't had a homicide in Washington, D.C. Over the last 4 years under Biden, the District of Columbia averaged over 200 murders per year, per 100,000, 200 murders a year. They averaged around 30 to 35 per 100,000 persons in the district. The national homicide average is between 5 and 6. So they're 6 or 7 times the national average in Washington, D.C. If Washington, D.C. were a state, it'd be the motor vehicle theft capital of the world.
Wow.
Its total crime is consistently twice the national average. They led the nation in violent crime in 2023. Under Biden, nationwide, murder, the 2021, 22, 23 were the three most murderous years in decades, like 50 years.
And you can see that like in that. Birmingham statistics showed that. I mean, it was awful.
Yeah. And then I'll leave this. And this is the real kicker here. If you're talking about Chicago, by the way, Chicago last year led the nation. This is according to recent FBI data. They had 461 total murders. Mm. That's one every, 19 hours or so. That led the nation in raw total of murders. Now, in the top 25 most murderous cities in the country, every one of them, except for one, has a Democrat mayor. None of them have a Republican district attorney. And the one that has a mayor in Dallas, he just recently in 2023 became a Republican. He was a Democrat for his entire life.
Wow.
So if you think the policies of liberal Democrats as they relate to crime, especially violent crime, work, well, the statistics say something else.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, listen, I think that anybody with a conscience can look at what's happening in D.C. and say, it's working. And I don't think people are really protesting the idea that there's less crime. But for some reason, this has become like, a political football. Oh, it's totalitarianism. Oh, it's going to be the end of, freedoms as we know it. It's ridiculous. But the police union is loving it. The people of the city are loving it. And, you know, the crime stats are proving it. But now he's talking about taking it to other places. And I think that'll be a different dynamic, but he proved that it can be done in Los Angeles most recently. So what are your thoughts on like Chicago being next or whatever?
Well, we saw sort of a preview of D.C., believe it or not, Phil, in what happened in L.A. with the ICE arrests that were surged to Los Angeles. It's the same formula. It's different in the sense that D.C. is a federal district, and Trump is the commander-in-chief of the National Guard of that district. So it's very different. He doesn't have to seek governor permission. He's not going to get that from the governors of Massachusetts or New York or Illinois or California. But he can declare an emergency, and as was deemed in LA, it was upheld. They tried to challenge it in the court. They lost eventually after we got past the liberal judges. Now, look, it is hard for me to understand why anyone, when you can surge FBI, DEA, ATF, U.S. Marshals, the park police, any federal agency, HSI, into my town to help rid me of 461 murders last year, right? It's the most murderous city in the last 15 years. And you're trying to tell me, and that's with Philadelphia still existing, right? Larry Krasner and those. No, don't come here. Do not come here. Free D.C., free Chicago. And then they get in their BMWs and they drive back to their suburban homes. and that's true. Yeah, I asked on Newsmax the other night that, you know, they showed the video of the protesters. And I'm like, I wonder if they drove back to Arlington or Bethesda after the protest.
No doubt.
You know, they're not. These people might work there. They have a relative who does, or they used to. But why would you not want help? When did our side of the battlefield in law enforcement, in crime reduction, become too crowded? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. It's like if I'm raking leaves in my lawn and Phil shows up with 20 people and I say, no, I'm doing my own lawn because I am independent. No, everybody grab a rake. Let's go. We'll be done in 10 minutes.
Just so you know, I'm bringing the leaf blower. I'm bringing the blower, just so you know. Just so.
That's right. Okay, fair enough. But either way, it's never too crowded.
No, it's not.
That is where the modern liberal misses this issue, doesn't foul it off, whiffs it completely, because the people that live there, who actually live there, feel safer. And when you feel safer, when you're averaging a murder every 19 hours in your city, and then suddenly it's every 2 days or every 3 days or not for 12 days, you notice that. There's a reason why that happened. Bad guys still exist. They still live in that city, but they're not coming out at night because they know if they do what they do, they're going to get caught.
So let me ask you this. On the Chicago, the New York, the wherever other than D.C., am I correct in saying, I mean, I know for a fact that he has Title 10 authority to activate National Guard troops to preserve life, limb, or property, but to go into those cities, he would have to have an entirely different set of circumstances, whether it be an invitation or a declaration of an emergency. Am I right in saying that?
Well, I mean, look, he can surge federal resources anywhere he wants to, right? So he doesn't need any permissions whatsoever. But if you want to take the National Guard, so when I say federal resources, I meant law enforcement, forgive me. So anyone with a federal badge can go into any city in this country and do whatever they want and operate with impunity. They might not get cooperation from the locals, but they can go in there and operate. To bring in a guard, he would have to issue an executive order based on crime. Look, he laid it out today, Chicago's crime problem. I got this from the White House a few hours ago. And there's a bunch of facts, but I'm just going to give you one stat that is staggering.
All right.
Out of Chicago's 147,899 reported crimes this year, since January 1st, arrests have been made in just 16.2% of them.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous. That's unbelievably bad.
Differently, 84% of 150,000 crimes haven't solved them yet in Chicago. You guys are doing a great job, Brandon. You know, Mayor, you guys are doing great. And the governor, don't come here. You know, Chicago's a safe place. By what measure? You didn't die when you went downtown? Is that the bar we're at?
I'm looking at, I got two screens on the wall here in the studio. On the left, I have CNN, where Governor Pritzker is now announcing that he is taking issue with Trump talking about crime in Chicago. And on the right, on Fox, I have a resident of Chicago saying crime is awful and we need help.
Yeah, well, and I can tell you that Governor Pritzker doesn't live in any area of the country
no.
as a billionaire, that any travels with an entourage of security, and he did before he became governor. So it is absurd to listen to these, liberal fat guys get on TV and say how safe play. I mean, there's nothing to see here. It's Captain Renault from Casablanca. I'm shocked. And so it really, I mean, go ahead. I mean, I hope they put him on every day, every talk show, every news channel. Have him come on and say how safe. L.A., San Francisco, Philadelphia, Houston, New York, Dallas, Baltimore, all these cities. Go ahead and tell us. Baltimore, the Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland, was on TV this morning talking about how safe Baltimore was.
Yeah.
Baltimore is ranked 8th in the country for homicides, and it's in the top 5 per 100,000.
The gaslighting is shameless.
About?
Shameless gaslighting. Yeah. Hey, let me ask you something. I got about 3 minutes left with you, brother. So let me ask you. The other part of law enforcement, of course, are those who prosecute or those who preside over the prosecutions of crimes on the federal side. Mm-hmm. And that process, you know quite well. And Trump right now is just declared, right before I went on the air, that he will be filing suit, if necessary, asking for a Supreme Court ruling as to whether or not his constitutional authorities are being impeded to get judges and U.S. attorneys in place because the Senate has their blue slip process, which I talked about earlier on the show. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, really what I think President Trump, so yes, he can do that. And I think really what he's going to attack is the constitutionality of the Vacancy Act.
Right.
Because I was a presidentially appointed, Senate confirmed U.S. attorney. And the issue you're discussing is if the blue slip process is where the senators from the home state agree that J-Town should be the U.S. attorney, send it to the Senate, they vote yes. And the president is happy with it. And he signs my warrant and I become the U.S. attorney. That's not happening. There are less than a half dozen U.S. attorneys, and I don't even think there's that many, that have gone through confirmation in this country. And we are almost a year into Trump's term, his final term. And that's absurd. And the Vacancy Act says that when there's a vacancy for the U.S. attorney job, that the AG can appoint someone, or the courts can appoint someone, but for X amount of days. Well, that's absurd. I can't put in my executive agency, who's in charge of my executive agency, as a chief executive officer of that executive agency. That's insane.
Yeah.
And I've always thought it was a ridiculous law. It was some weird compromise that came out of, I don't know if it came out of the Watergate era or what, but I do believe it intrudes upon Article 2 powers. The president gets to pick his team. He does. He's the GM, the head coach, and the offensive coordinator all at the same time. And it's ridiculous to think that he can't do that. So let's hope that they get moving. But this is the slowest I've ever seen it. I was the first U.S. attorney sworn in, and then there were 30 after me about a month later. And it was before the point that we are at right now.
Wow. Well, the logjam's got to break. And then you've got things like what's happening with Alina Habo, where the judges have decided that she needs to be taken back off the job. And I guess they're citing the law saying she's surpassed her short-term candidacy for the position as an acting or an interim. But it's a logjam that's got to break sometime soon, because we've seen what happens when you have a conservative bench. It makes a difference. And
it does.
All right, brother. Listen, I got to leave it there. But thank you very much. Congratulations on the Newsmax gig and your work with Radiance. And at the same time, we'll have you back on again sometime soon.
Can't wait. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, buddy. See you. All right, we're taking a break. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Text me if you want to. The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.